keep sitting. I think we can release the children is to Sunday school as well and go and be blessed. That's normally what I do, so I do always feel a little bit uncomfortable coming to speak because, you know, I kind of really dig the kids, you know. I don't know, something about kids. The little kids are always so open, yeah? They're always so open. Not that you guys aren't. Not putting that on you. But, you know, kids are so ready to receive, so ready to take in. But I just want to thank the sisters so much for blessing us this morning. I thank you again. I just felt kingdom come over me. Heaven came down. And you know what? Sometimes you can't work out how God does these things because he's amazing. But everything you sang fits with my message today. And even what Pastor Dave was saying, his grace abounds in our lives, doesn't it? You know, I know for me, it abounds much. So this morning, unfortunately, my dear husband's not here, and it's been a bit of one of those crazy mornings. Oh, so no Facebook Live. Is that okay? Oh, you want to video me? Oh, he's watching. Oh, wow. Okay. So hi, honey. Yeah. I'm not sure that I feel comfortable with Facebook Live, but anyway, I'll let it go for now. I just really want to say that I'm really enjoying this going through the Proverbs. I really want to honor Pastor Matt, honey, I honor you, and Pastor Dave for really pressing in, and it's doing us good. It's doing me good. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's really doing me good. Going through the book of Proverbs, and it's just educating me more about wisdom and how important wisdom is, especially for us, you know, so that we can have the kingdom come and that Christ can be glorified through us, yeah? And as I've been reading through Proverbs, I'm totally blown away with it, and I really thank you guys and honor you for letting me speak today. I would prefer not to be. That's how I think sometimes. But the Lord says no. Each one of us has a voice for him. And I want to encourage you in that today. Every single one of you are ministers of God's word. And God wants to use you. It's not just for the people up the front. It's for every single one of us. We're no longer sinners, but saints. And this book. So as I've been going through it, I've been like, wow, this book carries everything that you need for your life. Every single thing. And why don't we get in it more? And I, even as I've been preparing for this message, the Lord's chastised me and he says, Carol, why don't you spend this much time in the Word every day? And I do spend time in the Word, but maybe a bit more limited than when I'm preparing for a message. But I just want to encourage you guys, when you get in the Word, oh, he just stirs you, you know? He's so close and he speaks to us through his Word. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 13, which is probably one of my all-time favorites, which is, "For the word of God is alive and active." I mean, we could just marinate on one scripture and not go on to any more, but the Word of God is alive. Alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart and the attitudes. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. And just as I'm saying that, I feel the Holy Spirit so strongly on me. Everything is not hidden from God. Not one thing, not one jot or tittle, as Cecily says. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And I think the Proverbs does it so well. The Proverbs helps us understand the attitudes of our heart. I am sure that we are in a season of growth, not numerically, but inwardly. That the Lord is calling his bride. He is saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. I'm just going to read that to you because I've got the goosebumps everywhere. Holy Spirit, just come and touch the people here, Lord. Father, I just feel that you want to impart, release something over your people. Lord God, you're wanting them to rise up on your shoulders, God. So it says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and don't we see it? Don't we see it? But we do not need to be afraid, because the thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. This is Isaiah 60, if you didn't know. And his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This is the promise, friends. This is our promise. Oh, Jesus, thank you. So this is what the Lord's doing. It's not about numbers, people. It's about our hearts. God examines our hearts. And he's saying, don't worry about what everyone else is doing. What's happening with you, Carol Ann Prater? How are you growing? How are you becoming deeper and stronger in me? And I can tell you, friends, that the more I spend in the Word, the deeper intimacy I get with the Lord. The deeper he teaches me things, all my pride, all my brokenness just fades away. And he shows me my true identity. He cares about our hearts so much. God cares about the conditions of our hearts. Proverbs tells us that. It says, keep your hearts with full, with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. And I love this church. I love the people in it, because I know we gather here with a common purpose. What is our purpose? That we worship Jesus. He is our hope. He is our hope. And we acknowledge that we are his people and that we're here on purpose. There's no accidents here. You are not an accident. You are here with a purpose, and he has a plan for you. And I know the plans I have for you, he declares. And last but certainly not least, we're here to love. Love is our call. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And it's so interesting that Alan was sharing on sanctification, because this is one of my favorite words at the moment, sanctification. And as we've been reading through the Proverbs, I'm getting a full picture of what a sanctification is. If you don't know what sanctification is, it's a process of salvation. So it's not steps. You know, there's no steps to God. When we come to Jesus, we're justified with the blood of Jesus and we're made right with God, and nothing can ever change that. But the Lord loves us so much that he wants us to go on a journey with him, to be starting to look like him. And I just wanted to share with you that when I first became a Christian, after years in sin, 10 years, I came away from the church. My parents had gotten divorced. I was rebellious. I was really naughty. I was naughty. I was bad. I was out of control, really. The Lord loved me. He pursued me. In fact, my mother was praying for me. I didn't know she was praying, naughty mummy, but good mummy. You know, the prayers of a saint avail much, yeah? And so my mum was praying for me, but I came back to the Lord after this time, and I was a wretched sinner. All sin is wretched. You know, this word sanctified, That's the new word. Sanctified, it means to be made holy, to be pure. It means that we're anointed, free from sin. And I read a book, Annie and I love this book. We read a book by Chuck Missler. Who knows Chuck Missler? Chuck Missler and Nancy Missler, and it's called The Kingdom, The Power and the Glory. And it's about sanctification, justification, and glorification. That's what God's looking for, a glorified bride. And so when I read this book, I was so taken with it. But Chuck talks about lots of deep, deep things in there like Chuck does, which I won't go into. I'll let Chuck be the Bible teacher. But he talks about this outworking of our salvation through sanctification. And it's the work of Christ in our hearts and in our lives to become pure and spotless bride, which is what God is looking for. And it reminded me of this faith journey of mine. I came back to the Lord because my mother's prayer availed much, and I was a broken vessel. And I came back to this beautiful church, the Vineyard Church over at Pine Rivers, and you know what? Someone invited me to church, and I want to encourage you, church, invite people to church. It makes a difference. So I got invited to church, and I was saved. Get my story right. I was saved. But you know what? I was still sinning. Actually, it's sometimes quite offensively. I would even think, as someone that had just been saved, I don't know that I should be doing this. Well, I knew that I shouldn't be, but I kept sinning. Does anyone identify? Does anyone identify with that? Actually, sinning whilst saved. And one week, the pastor got up and he said, this Sunday, which was going to be Christmas, it happened to be Christmas Day on a Sunday. And he said, this Sunday for Christmas Day, we're going to have baptisms. And instantly in my heart, I went, oh, I've got to come. I've got to go. But then I was like, oh no, your sins are too many. You know, this is what the dirty devil does. You can't do that. And I was like, oh God, I don't know what to do. So I waited and waited and waited. And I think it was Christmas Eve. And I, almost under the compulsion of the Holy Spirit, I got in the car and I drove to the pastor's house. And I knocked on the door. And forgive me if I burst out crying, but I went, is it too late? Is it too late for me to be baptized? And he was like, no, no, of course not. I was like, you know what? Satan knows the power of the exchange. When we receive the Holy Spirit, there is a powerful exchange. And in my own way, in my own flesh, I could not be free of sin. But when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I am changed. You can be changed. And so that night I knocked on his door. I was like, and I had to be baptized. And you know what? God wants us so much to be free of sin so that we can be glorified believers. And you know, as I was preparing this week, the Lord's prayer kept coming to me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and deliver us not into temptation. What is that, right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God wants his kingdom to come through us, through broken vessels. And I just thought, Lord, how good are you? How good are you So that day, and can I just tell you that day when I went under the water, I cannot describe it. I honestly can't. It was a supernatural thing. And God wants you to encounter Him in a supernatural way. God wants His people to experience the power of God over their lives. I went under the water. My filthy sin surrounded me. And I had all my family there. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. But I came up out of the water and I literally felt like I wasn't walking on the ground. You know, sometimes we don't know the weight that we're carrying around. We're carrying around heavy burdens. You know, we're weighed down with sin, with pride, with arrogance, you know. With we know better than that person. And you know what? God loves humility. And I went under that water. I humbled myself, but I had to choose. God didn't force me down there, even though He did. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I wasn't in control of my car that night that I went to. But see, God loves me so much. He loves you so much. He's like, get in the car, get to that pastor's house and knock on the door. Because it doesn't matter. He wants me free. Free. And so I have to choose. You have to choose. God will not force us because He is a gentleman. He is a loving God. So it's a day I'll never forget. And, you know, as we've been reading through the Proverbs, it's been so evident to me, again, that God wants His people free. Proverbs 15 verse 3 tells us the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Why? Every time after I read a line, I say, why? That's what we should do, friends. God wants to tell us. Why? Because God wants us to be free. He's not a mean God. You know, people have made God into something mean, some big bad guy, but He's a good, good guy. He's a good, good God. And He says, why I don't want you to be wicked is because it hurts. It hurts. And I don't want you to feel pain. Verses 8 to 12 says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. Why? Because it's an impure altar. If my heart is not right with God, there's no point giving Him a million sacrifices because it doesn't really mean much. You know, I won't go into that, but that's another sermon for another day. God's looking for a pure bride, yeah? And He wants your heart right. And it doesn't take much, actually. It's not hard work. It's actually so easy. But the devil wants to tell you lots of reasons why you can't have it. But you can have it. You've got it. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got that. So the prayer of the upright pleases Him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness. Stern disciplines await anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? You know, the Message version says, even hell holds no secrets from God. Do you think He can read human hearts? Mockers resent correction. They avoid the wise. Oh, I don't know. I get goosebumps when I read this stuff. But I get my notes all mixed up because I hate using the... Sorry, guys. Yeah. What was I just saying? He hates the mockers. And I think it's pretty clear that God hates sin, not because He's a party pooper. In fact, he's quite the opposite. He loves joy. He loves kindness. He doesn't just love those things. He doesn't just love these things. He gives these things. He is these things. He hates sin for so many reasons because it hurts us. It hurts others. It's not about hurting anyone. He's not about hurting anyone. He wants to heal. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring joy. He wants to bring love. He wants to bring abundance. This is the truth about what he wants. You know, Matt shared last week about loving what God loves and hating what God hates. And he hates sin so much that he made a way through Jesus. Jesus, the sacrifice for the sins that we could not overcome. And he reconciled us to God through his blood. And we can have an intimate relationship with him and grow up in him, be used for his purposes. Guys, that's really what it's all about. He wants to use us. He wants us to be a conduit of the kingdom coming to everyone we meet. You know, Peter is my, I would love to be Peter, and my shadow would just have people be healed. But this is what God's heart is for the people out there. It isn't that just Jesus covers our sins. He wants to totally do away with sin, totally destroy it. But you know, and if we do sin, there's a provision. This is how good God is. Pastor Dave was talking about it before. He was almost preaching my sermon before. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's really, truly the greatest love story. The greatest thing that's ever happened in the world. It is beyond phenomenal. And redeem means to get back. We give God our scarlet, red-stained sin, and he gives back us righteousness, pure white. Have a drink. Revelation 3 verse 5 says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And I titled the message today, God Does Not Miss a Thing, because you cannot fool God. Verse 33 says, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. Humility comes before honor. We cannot trample God underfoot and go on sinning. You know, Romans 6 talks about it so powerfully. It says, you are dead to sin and alive to Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? You can look this up in your Bibles. I'd encourage you to get your Bibles and bring them every Sunday. Because like I held this book up before, this is the power of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. It can divide and teach. Anyway, we should go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And it goes on from there. What a beautiful promise. And 1 John 2 verses 1 to 2, I'm getting my words mixed up, says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I'd encourage you all to read Romans 6 in its entirety. But you know, Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, he was an amazing man. He was David's son, and King David was a great warrior. He'd won, was it 66 battles? Something amazing like that. He was a warrior for God, and his son Solomon was a builder. Solomon built the temple, and he asked God for just one thing, wisdom. And God gave it to him, because God gives freely. And, you know, this covenant we have with Jesus, how much more can we ask of God? And he will give it to us. But you know, Solomon took for granted. You know, Solomon's life was amazing, but I'm not going to go into his whole life story, but at the end of his life, we all know what happened to Solomon. And that carried such a legacy. You know, after Solomon, was it 8 or 9 kings were evil kings? You know, he was a righteous king for a period, and then he lost his way. And then after him, destruction came. And I just thought, oh God, this great man Solomon, he wrote this amazing book, the Proverbs, but he too fell. And friends, this can happen to us. And I, as the mama of the house, I don't want that to happen. He doesn't want that to happen. We must hold on to him so tight, tighter than anything else. And you know what? The Lord's been showing me so much is that Solomon compromised, didn't he? Solomon compromised. Solomon took for granted everything God had given him. Solomon stopped depending on God and he was depending on his own way, his own strength, his own good. And friends, I do that. I got prayed for at some conference. Randy Clark got me up and he goes, you've been loving with your strength. But God wants you to love with his love. And then I just was like, I don't know what happened after that. But this is it, guys. We do things out of our own strength. To Solomon did the same. After he'd received wisdom, he then went and lost his way. And we can do the same thing, but we cannot be self-reliant. We must rely on him, the one and only. And I know for certain that, you know, none of us can overcome without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I make that any clearer? We, in our own strength, we can't stop sinning. Carol Prater can't stop sinning by her own. That's works, you know. I cannot whip myself, bash myself, anything enough to stop sinning. But with Christ in me, with the Holy Spirit's baptism, I can stop sinning. And I can be pure as the driven snow. And so can you. And if there's patterns of sin in our life that we can't get rid of, we've got to address it. Maybe you need ministry. Maybe you need deliverance. I don't know. But God is going to fix that too. I know for certain that with God, all things are possible. Without him, not much ain't going to happen. But, you know, I can't pick on Solomon because don't we all do what Solomon did? You know, I love that God gives us the heroes of the faith to teach us. These are our mentors. These guys teach us. We can learn from their mistakes. But do we? Do we? We can learn from their mistakes, but do we? We become reliant on our own wisdom. We have got enough opinions to drown ourselves in. You know, Kylie shared that last week. You know, the Lord said to me once, I was telling the Lord all my opinions, and he said, Carol, I am not interested in your opinion. I want your obedience. I'm like, oh, Lord, oh, so tough. But the Lord disciplines those he loves. He disciplines. I love when the Lord disciplines me. I get excited about that because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, loves me enough to say, hey, no. Girlfriend, stop. You are going to go off a cliff. You want that? No way, Jose. But if you can get that picture of Christ, of Jesus, that is powerful. He doesn't want to hurt. He wants to give life. I hate how the world mocks him. I hate it. I've got a holy discontent about it. They laugh. They mock. You know what? I go, huh, poor guys. Like, you know, I pray for their salvation. Because I don't want the judgment of God on me. And when I'm justified, I don't have the judgment anymore. It's done. I'm in peace. I'm in perfect peace. So when I was at the beautiful Fireplace Church, I feel God is bringing unity in the churches. And, you know, we had a combined prayer meeting with the, you know, Cheryl Hackett, who led worship here a little while ago. And it was just an amazing prayer meeting. And at the night of prayer, I had this vision of a body broken into many parts on the ground. And it was a pure white. And I didn't understand what that was. But it was so vivid. It was like a puzzle, but it was a human body. And I went, oh, Lord, what does that mean? And he said, that's my bride. And I go, oh, whoa. You know, that's just broken up. You know, and sometimes I don't get the full revelation of these things at once, and I believe God is unraveling it. But part of this message today he wanted me to bring, which I haven't found hard. Talking about sin, baby, isn't cool these days, you know, is it? It's like, oh, you know, oh God, can't you pick Pastor Dave to talk about that? You know, can't you pick Pastor Matt? But you know what? It's not wrong to talk about sin. It's a good thing because he's a good, good father and he wants to give us good, good things. And, oh, that thing is like blowing. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, she's become self-reliant. You think that's true? You think maybe the church and her people have become reliant on themselves and not reliant on the Holy Spirit? And I was like, oh, God, that's a bit of a tough word. But you know what? God brings tough words to bring hope, to bring happiness, to bring joy. And, you know, he said, we've built our own kingdoms. We have programs for everything. And he's speaking that to you too. There's things in your life. We love the media, Netflix. I mean, you know, okay, just confessing. I do love Netflix. But, you know, we have programs for everything in our own lives. We've set up systems. Everything to keep us away from God. We've become reliant on us. We think our beautiful homes, you know, they're God's. Everything is God's. And we're dependent on natural things instead of being dependent on the Holy Spirit and on the supernatural power of God. We have lost our way, but we can get it back if we follow the path. And I'm just wanting to share this story with you. You know, Warwick Marsh is a very good friend of ours. Most of you don't know who Warwick Marsh is, but he is the leader or the CEO of the National Day of Prayer and Fasting. And Pastor, well, he's not a pastor, but Warwick is a dear father to Matt and I. And He's an advocate for children, for fathering, for the kingdom coming. He's an amazing man of God. But he writes a blog, and on his blog, this one blog that really grabbed me, he talked about roughhousing your kids. Does anyone know what that means? Who's been roughhoused by their dad, you know? That's the kind of wrestling, you know, tickling, all those things. Whose dad did that to them? And in this, he put up an article about roughhousing your kids has all these amazing benefits to them. So I'll read some of the benefits, and I can assure you it is going to go somewhere. But the benefits are that it makes your children more intelligent, more lovable and likable, ethical, physically fit and joyful. This is not a Christian message. This was written by some scientists. And I can actually get the information to you about that because their names are hard to pronounce. But they said that, in short, roughhousing makes your kids awesome. It says that roughhousing boosts kids' resilience. It helps them develop a resilient spirit. The ability to bounce back from failures and adapt to unpredictable situations. Playtimes with your kids is fun and a safe place to teach your kids that failure is often just a temporary state and that victory goes to the person who keeps at it and learns from his mistakes. And isn't that what the Word of God does? It messes with us a little bit. It challenges us a little bit. It knocks us around, maybe a little bit. But he teaches the same, that our state of sin is oh so temporary if we choose the narrow way. He tells us that we will have victory from our mistakes. And, you know, roughhousing also teaches kids how to manage and deal with pain and discomfort, which it does if you've ever been roughhoused. And it teaches your kids to be smarter, more intelligent, more socially moral, physically active. And, you know, isn't that what the world needs? And you know, mostly dads are known for doing this roughhousing, aren't they? You know, mums can do it. Do you do it, Dave? You do it? Yeah. And you know what? My kids, they say to Matt, Dad, tickle us. Dad, wrestle us. Dad, do this to us. And they love it. They can't get enough of it. And in fact, I remember doing this with my own dad. I loved being with him. He was a fireman. He would be on night shift and come home and want to sleep. And I'd be jumping on the bed next to him. He's trying to sleep. But instead of being a cranky pants, he just start roughhousing me, you know, and we'd have this fight where I'd try to push him off the bed, you know, and then he'd try to get me off the bed. He'd always win, by the way. But, you know, sometimes he let me win and make me think I was so good. You know? And I'd be like, come on, Dad. And you know what? There was an electricity about it, an excitement about it. I couldn't get enough. I'd be like, come on, Dad. He's like, okay, we've been doing it for half an hour now. It's time to stop. But you know what? I just have such great memories, and I loved my dad. And he loved me. And you know what? We have a father that loves us. And I love him. But you know what? He loves to roughhouse us a little bit. I think God wants to wrestle with us this morning. He wants to tickle us a little bit. He wants to kind of try and push us off the bed of our stubbornness. He wants to kind of tackle us and say, Carolyn, tickle, 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 tickle. Submit to me. Okay, Lord, let's do it again. Let's play again. But if any of you have fond memories of that with your own parents, that's how I think God sees us and feels about us. I should read the scriptures now. Proverbs 16 verse 1 says, man makes elaborate plans, but God has the last word. You know what, church? You're loved. 16 verse 6 says, through faith, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? Whoever heeds instructions prosper, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And today, God wants you to know that these words are honeycomb to you, sweet to your soul and healing to your bones. He wants you to be free. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will do what I command. And the Bible tells us that we have the Holy Spirit that comes and lives within us and makes us no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to... No longer a slave to sin when the Holy Spirit comes within us, but a slave to righteousness. So we're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. And... You know what? Sometimes I'm going to play out a little thing now as I'm closing, all right? So this is the thing. When we have the Holy Spirit live within us and we sin a little bit, it kind of bugs us a bit. It kind of feels uncomfortable. you know, I sometimes have to change feet, or what's that saying? You know, I have to, yeah, that's it. I sometimes say the wrong thing, and I'll do the wrong thing. I do it a lot. I just confessing. But you know what? I get an instant conviction, and I have to deal with it straight away. And I have to call someone or make it right. I can't let it linger. That's the Holy Spirit, right? And so when you sin, you know, your sin makes you wrestle when you've got the Holy Spirit within you. That's a way to know if you've got the Holy Spirit or not. If you're not wrestling with it, then, you know, if you're not wrestling with it. And I think that, you know, some of us aren't getting that conviction. Some of us aren't getting that pull to do the right thing. Some of us here today, we're quite happy in our sin. We're quite familiar with it. We're quite cool with it. And you know, but it's something that you're stressing over, something that you're not feeling good about. And sometimes you're coming to church and you sort of can't even enter into worship because, you know, you put your arms up and you're just feeling that stress, you know, that sin is pressing on you, and you're thinking, why can't I worship? Because, you know, that sin is stirring around in your heart, and you don't feel good. You know, when you're in God's house, you don't feel good because because when you're a slave to righteousness, you can't feel good about the sin, you know, stirring around in your heart. And so I want to show you something. Bit hard without a thing. I might need Kylie to come and hold the microphone for me. But so I wanted to bring a couple of my favorite drinks, but I on the way here I couldn't get lemonade, so I had to get this peach tea. But can I just show you an illustration about how some of us might feel? And I know I feel like this sometimes. So the lemonade, you know what lemonade looks like? It's clear, yeah. It's got all the bubbles in there, bubbling over with life. And let's just say that's our righteous life. So, it's hard, isn't it, Kylie? Can you hold my props? But I love these two drinks. Does anyone else like iced coffee? And yeah. I could probably yell this and you'd hear it. But, you know, this is what happens with some of us. We go, oh, Lord, I love you. I love spending time with you, Lord. Oh, so good. You fill me up with joy and peace and love. And oh, I can't get enough. But then over here we're like, oh, I might have some pot. Then we're like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to be in your word today. Oh, God, I'm going to go and look at porn. Oh, Jesus, I love your word. I love worshiping you. But I hate those people. Oh, God, you are good to me. I love you. You're everything. But I'm not in relationship with people I should be. I don't like them. They're mean to me. I'm going to gossip about them. We play a game. And it hurts. It makes you sick. Yeah. It makes you sick. Do you think I'm feeling well right now, drinking peach tea? No. It makes you sick. It makes you real sick. But then what? This is what we do. It's going to make you sicker. Yeah. we say, God, I'm 90% good with you, but I'm just going to hold on to 10% of this sin. That is yuck. That is sick. And friends, that's what we do. I don't even have the pure clean water here. And look how yucky. Oh, it's all, it's like rotten, Kylie. Anyway. Grace wanted to have the rest of that peach tea. I'll have to buy one on the way home, but guys, you know, when we're in a good place with God, and the worship team, you guys can just come up and just, do you want to just hum softly or, I don't know, you know what, we're in a good relationship with God when we're purified by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know that heaven is right there. You know when you pray and you hear what God's saying, he's speaking to you. You know, you read the word of God and it comes alive to you. This is when we're in that mixed up, look at that thing there. When we're like that, there's sometimes a barrier. But you know what? Who moved? God didn't move. God's right there. He's like, you know what he does? I saw this picture on Facebook once, and there's a little kid with this little toy, and God's asking for the little bear in their hand. And behind God's back, he's got this massive bear. He's got this massive better thing. And this, and the Lord's saying, come, give me that. That the little one couldn't see what God had behind, what Jesus had behind his back, but Jesus saying, give me that. Give me that. He wants you to give him his sin today, the sin which isn't yours. It's from the pit of hell. He wants you to be free of it today. Because you know what? Behind his back, he's got blessings. He's got abundance. He's got great things for you. And I feel like all of us today, the Lord wants to bring his pure and spotless bride to fruition today. And I just pray that if you've been moved by God, if you've felt the Holy Spirit convicting you of things that are in your life that you want to be free from, he wants you to be set free today. And you know what? And there's going to be people that can pray with you. If you don't want prayer, you can just deal with it with God. But he wants you to be free today. And I asked Glenn if he would share a prayer, which is a pretty heavy prayer. But I just pray, and I'll pass over to Pastor Dave, but I'd encourage you to come. Come, anyone who wants to be healed, anyone that wants to be set free, come to Jesus. Come, he invites you. You know what he does? He's waiting at the end of the hall saying, come, come. He's not pushing. He's not pushing behind you. He's at the end of the hall. You know the narrow path? He's at the end of the narrow path. He's going, come, come to me. Come, I love you. I love you. Come. So I'd encourage you to come. Come and be set free. I pray for a renewing, God, of our minds and our hearts before you today, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come in power, Lord, that you would just minister your healing, that you do so perfectly, so beautiful. So come, Holy Spirit, come and set us free. We ask in the name of Jesus. Glenn, come. Glenn's going to share a prayer of repentance. He was touched by Joni's prayer last week. And as he prays, I'd encourage you to come.
You know, many false prophets have come preaching blessings and that God loves us and all that sort of stuff that's been tickling our itching ears. But they're stumbling blocks to God's people. But God is going to bring a word that makes our ears tingle like a slap around our ears. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The Lord God requires repentance from his people. Truly, the sovereign Lord does nothing without first revealing it through his servants the prophets. The bride has made herself ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Remove the obstacles. The day is coming for judgment to begin in the house of the Lord. Warning of the 10 virgins. God is coming for a bride, not a harlot. Without repentance, we are like a child sitting in soiled nappies. Our hearts are hardened. Nothing moves us. No message is penetrating our hardness. Repent. The Lord is sounding the trumpet. Because God is a just God, a gracious God, a merciful God, but he also requires obedience. But that's why he gives us grace. That's why he gives us an opportunity to come to him with repentance. And, you know, today is the day of salvation. And we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So my prayer is, Lord, that today, that, Lord, you'd blow the trumpet in Zion. Send forth your Holy Spirit, bring conviction upon us. Lord, where our foolish hearts have been hardened, I pray that, Lord, that you would just bring about such a sense of remorse that we will come and repent before the throne of grace. So before the mercy seat, we ask that, Lord, you bring conviction and bring the people of God to the place where you want them to be, where they come into a place of repentance and to be reconciled together unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We echo amen to that prayer of God. Let's stand together. Romans chapter 16 says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And the word that's come this morning is a word of exhortation to all of us to check ourselves out. It goes on and says, for the Lord shall soon crush Satan underneath your feet. God is saying, I want to crush Satan, who's been trying to bombard your mind and keep you captive. He's wanting to crush his strategy against you. Answer the call today. God says, I want to break the chains. I want to break that thing that is hindering you from going on to your next level. Come on. God is saying, come on, I love you. I want you. You're my bride. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Let it go. Let that stuff go. Just as Carol was saying, God's got something far greater than what you're holding on to. Thank you, Lord. No place